I do want you, please, want you to be praying for the next 2 months. We're asking God to do something for us. I know I need God to do something in my life. And I haven't arrived. And if you have, I'm glad for you. But I haven't. And I'm asking God to do some things in my life the next couple months. And I'm looking forward to hearing the different teachers. It's going to be has been preparing lessons to speak to, hopefully to speak to our hearts. And on that note, also we're going to be having we have prayer meeting every Saturday night. Preacher, we'll be having prayer meeting every Saturday night. Last year, I don't think it was but two of us that showed up. I certainly hope that more people would take advantage of this. I've read this, and I've read of many revival meetings, Great Awakening, different things. The great revival that started up in New York and right at the end of the Civil War era, and revival that took place in Wales and different parts of the world. And every one of those moves of God was all started by prayer meetings. By prayer meetings. Can't expect it to be preached in. What it takes is people that want God to give them something and do something for their neighborhood, do something for their church. So I plead, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage and come and pray for the church and pray for the our county. And Lord knows our county needs all the prayer they can get. And not just our county, our state, our missionaries abroad. I like something I read in one of those where he said, you know, he said, I'm afraid that most Christians never get past the little prayer answers they get. They're satisfied with that. When God wants them to learn how to pray, that's going to move generations. Take part in prayer that can move generations, move nations, and will be felt in eternity. So I just please consider that and pray about coming out. Pray for our services. And as he said, hey, starting next week, please don't leave off your missions giving. And if God lays it on your heart, even give more. But get this to Bill, okay? Last week I tried to put, you know, baskets out for everybody to put in each one of their classes where they could get it at the end, and it was, nobody was doing it. So, get your missions given, just give it to Bill, okay? Just give it to him. And I pray the Lord will help you to do that. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. You listen fast, I'm going to talk fast. I'm going to try to get through this entire chapter, which is almost impossible, but God is able. I was reading this chapter last night, and well, I had God speak to me about the families, and I don't know if y'all ever had problems in your families coming up. I'm gonna tell you what, we got a generation that don't know how to raise, don't know how to have families. And this one here ain't the only one. Previous generation, and every generation has had folks like that, who had families that were, as they quote, begin to call them dysfunctional. All kinds of problems. A lot of it caused by alcohol and drugs or violence and sexual immorality and all these things. A lot of children. I've brought these statistics out here before. Two out of every four girls in this country will experience being molested before they're 14 years of age. One out of four boys will be molested before they're 14 years of age. That's the average. Does that tell you something? In certain places, you can expect whole communities of molestation going on. And we wonder why people are angry, violent, have all the problems that they have, all the immorality. I mean, you can't have children, you know, having to go through this stuff and it not being have long term effects. And we can sit here and be stick our snoot up and say, well, that's their problem. That's their wicked family. That wicked crowd is going to be that way. Yeah, well, except by the grace of God, you could have been born in that situation. If you wasn't molested as a boy, or if you were, God still loves you and cares about you. He died for you. Amen. He died for them. I always try to remember, after I got saved, I look back, and I'm going to tell you what, I remember when the Manson trials and stuff broke out, I said, man, they ought to take that guy, they ought to stake him out in public, run iron rods to him so he can't get out, let people come up and just throw majors at him every day. Let him eat slop. If anybody tried to break him loose or get him loose, have it tied to something, it would just fry him right there. That's the way I felt about stuff like that. After I got saved, I realized Jesus Christ died for that man. There were people who tried to win him to Christ after he was incarcerated, and I'm glad of that because he definitely could not say he had not heard of the love of God and the price he paid for the things he done. We will start in verses 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Man, I could sit there and jump up and down on, how this wicked generation, how children, are so disobedient, so disrespectful to parents. And you've seen it. You've been out in the malls and mom and daddy tell them, say, no, you can't have that. No, you can't get that. And they just pitch a living fit. And next thing you know, mom and daddy gives into it and gives it to them anyway. We've heard, I've seen children cuss their parents out. Just slap, cuss them out. And you know where they learn it from, don't you? Our parents probably cussed them out before. Cuss each other out. And we've seen that. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And the key word there is in the Lord. You can't expect people outside of Christ to act like godly people. That's produced by the Spirit of God. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you'll wax worse and worse. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're to thank God every day. Because where you could be, I look at where I have been since I got saved. And I get sick of myself. But if it hadn't been for the restraining hand of God, I think of where I could be. And where my family could be. And it makes me thankful because it says, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, we know under the law that if the children, wouldn't listen to their parents, what was the penalty for that? Death. And if a person killed somebody, what was the penalty for that? Now, did the generations that was in Israel, did they always honor that? Absolutely not. King David didn't, did he? He had a son that killed his half-brother. Did he have him put to death? Absolutely not. And it cost thousands of lives. David in his own problem, he had his own problems with lust. Had 9 wives. I don't know if he had any concubines or not. I haven't really looked on that. I know he had some there that kept the house and stuff like that. And And the Lord had told him, he said, if you had wanted such and such, I would have given that to you also. That was grace. That certainly wasn't law. Under the law, he was an adulterer. Under the law, what was supposed to happen to him? So we can see the grace of God even reaching back under the law. You know? He still had a heart for God, even though he just like so many of us today. Got God by this hand, got the world by this hand. And the Bible said, if you sow the wind, you reap what? He had 9 wives, and we know all the problems he had, and the sword never left his house because of it. And we know how his son led the country away from God by multiplying wives, multiplying horses, multiplying gold, all those things that God said, don't do. And God yet blessed him. That's what? Grace. Because he had honored God at the first, and God blessed him. Even though he was doing some things he wasn't supposed to do. I mean, the Bible said he made silver and stones on the ground. There was so much of it. And God had already plainly told him already not to do that. Not to gather up riches. You know? They were supposed to go out there and pick the manna up off the ground, live day by day, trusting God for everything. But they laid up riches. They were not to put no confidence in armies, yet he strengthened the nation with horses and chariots and all those things. But we, you know, some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we depend on the name of the Lord our God. We got a nation today that's, we got to have the strongest army to defend ourselves against the worst peoples in the world. Or we could just trust God and turn to God as a nation and we wouldn't have to worry about it. But when you're immoral, then you start trusting in this. An arm of flesh will fail you. You're to honor your parents. This is the first commandment with promise. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, that verse is always, my whole Christian life, really bothered me because I know that I have did things, I was trying to do the right thing, but I had no wisdom. I came from a home that was broken. It was had all kinds of problems in it. It infected me. And yet I hear people preaching, they say, do this. You know what I'm saying? And so I try to put my foot down and say, we're going to do it absolutely this way. And had no wisdom about it. You know what? You know what that produced? You know what I produced? Rebellion. Or they might have not went out and did it. But it ended up causing them to have feelings, you know, against me. And it ended up leading my wife to have feelings against me. And then the children will jump in there and you know what they'll try to do? They'll start trying to play one against the other. Yeah, I know, you're grown, you got your children all raised up and everything, but you got grandchildren. And you're going to have great-grandchildren. Some of you already got some. And we need to pass some things wrong to our children and our grandchildren. Say, don't do this. I mean, I heard stuff and I listened to examples by preachers and I tried to live dogmatically by it. And like I tore my family apart. I've learned a few things since then. And one of those, the greatest and the best way to make a difference in your family is kindness. Quietness. Loving hand at all times. When discipline is required, let it be done in love. And if you have to use corporal punishment in order to make you cry, and believe me, I believe in it. I think it's needed. I see little children need a little fanny tore up. I see it. But you got to be careful. You got to have wisdom. You got to have understanding. You got to have the leading of the Spirit of God so you can have discernment. For again, you have what, 3 children? Was either one of them a light? All 3 of them a little different. They took different, they needed a different hand. They had to be handled each differently. And you got to have discernment. You got to have wisdom. You got to have something that you can't, it ain't going to come out of you. It's got to come out of God. It's got to come from the Spirit of God. That's why it's so essential that we have the Spirit of God leading us in everything. If we don't, we will provoke our children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That nurture, you know what that is. I mean, that's like a greenhouse, you know, for your children. I mean, you want to keep the temperature just right, and you want to keep the ground just right, and you know, not too moist, not too dry, you know. Just whatever's good for the plants you got in there. And you know what? You can't have one for all your little plants in there. Each one's different. So they got to be, you know, raised up. A little bit different temperature. A little bit different moisture. A little bit different, you know, food in the ground. And you got to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the things about this Bible doesn't change, but how your children grow and learn how to experience that is going to be different in every one of them. Your experience coming up in the Word of God is different from mine. Your experience in raising, you know, families is so much different from mine. Your background in your parents is a lot different from mine. Brother Larry back there was raised up in a Pentecostal household. Isn't that correct, Brother Larry? So there was a lot of things that were strict about it that you had to, and you might not necessarily agree with that, but that's the way it was done. So when you came up, this is in your background. I was raised in a family that was not in church. They were all believers. But none of them was in church. All of them had the fear of God. None of them would even think about eating without asking the Lord's blessings on the food. Or would even crawl into bed without getting down beside the bed, you know, and thanking God for all He supplied for that day and watch over them that night, you know. How many Christian families today in our churches have that? Where each their children get down every night beside their bed and pray. Not a lot of them don't. Some of them do. I thank God for everyone that does. But it can't be done out of fear. It's got to be done. They've got to be taught how much God really loves them, and they got to fall in love with God too. If it's just a demand, if it's just a religious practice, you know, it can cause all kinds of problems. As it did in my family. By the time I was 17 years old, I said, I don't even believe in God. I've heard it, and I knew that there was a God. There is no such thing. I don't believe there's no such thing as an atheist. He might say that he is. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God, but he knows that there is. That's why he's such a fool. Trying to make himself believe something that he knows not true. How stupid is that? How foolish is that? You know it's true, but it's like a preacher said about them people down there and wherever that was. He said, yeah, well, if you don't see it, it ain't there, so just step right out and the bus gets you. Well, it does. You know? I'm going to act like it's not there. What about the same thing with an atheist? He says there is no God, but he knows he's going to get run over one day if he keeps going in that attitude. But he will. He lives the life of a fool. How much more of a fool are we when we know that these are the precepts of the Word of God and then we don't live by them? Heard a song coming in. I liked it. It was asking God to teach me to go out, to come in, to wait, to do. You know? All the things that God has said in the Bible, you know, sometimes you don't do, sometimes you do, sometimes you pray, sometimes you work, you know. And it takes God guidance and to do all this. And if we cannot learn by the Holy Spirit of God, then our children will be provoked in wrath. Servants, be obedient. To them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Oh my goodness, we've all worked for people that were, you know, unsavory characters, hard to work for, bullheaded, mean, fuss, just, you know, never satisfied with anything you do, you know? But God didn't tell us, you know, to do this when our masters were good. When our bosses are good, he said, do it. Who are you doing it for? You're not doing it for them, the Bible says, but unto the Lord. That's a hard thing to learn. Especially when you're around a bunch of people, all they're doing is complaining about, you know, how bad the boss is. Always grumbling and complaining and I've been working hard against that. You know, I've been working hard against that. I try to spend time praying for each one of them. I spend time trying to be a friend to them as well. I don't mean a buddy. I don't mean trying to get up there and trying to get out of something or trying to get out of them, you know, maybe getting on my case or whatever. But I mean honestly being a friend to be there what you need. What do you need? Try to do the best work I possibly can. And when I'm not feeling well, I try to let them know. And I said, I ain't much today. You know, so try to bear with me. Because I am hurting all over. I can't hardly do this. I'm going to try to stick in here. But I try to let them know. I try to communicate with them unruly bosses. You know what I'm saying? How many times it do us well when we're having problems with things, get along with our Heavenly Father and tell him, I'm not doing too well right now. I feel like I'm messing up a lot. Please help me. I'm all for trying to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and trying to do the best you can. But I'll just be honest with you, we're no match for this old nasty flesh we got here. We're no match for the devil, and we're no match for this world. And we need God's help. And boy, it is just so much better if we'll just get down every once in a while and say, God, I can't do this. Amen. I need you. I need your help. Amen. I need you to strengthen me. I need to take your word and show me where I'm messing up and what I can do to make a difference. Or do it in me. Whatever. And just come to that point in our life where we're looking to God every day. And whatever we're doing, we're looking to God and saying, God, strengthen me to do a good job for you and for your glory. And when you mess up, I went to my boss, man. I remember one day he jumped on my case and I just wasn't in fit for it. And I just came back at him. A little bit later, I went up to him and said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have got mad. He was mad with me. He wasn't that treating me right. But I shouldn't Hey, we don't give railing for railing. He rails on me. I'm not to rail back. I'm to be quiet, as the Lord said. As a lamb before his shearer's dumb, he opened not his mouth. Best thing I could have done. I said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. He said, well, I shouldn't have either. I shouldn't have been talking, you know, I'm sorry too. I said, well, good. And I took my hand down. I said, he said, everything, okay, everything's right. And I try to live that way with people who is over me. It's hard. Because it's so easy to go along with the crowd, say that bunch of sorry rascals, you know. And some of them are really hard workers. Don't get me wrong; they don't try to not get out of doing their job. I work with some men that actually work, you know, and they work hard, and they don't like getting fussed at. You know what I mean? And when they do, you know what their tendency is: to fuss about it, you know. And I'll be the first to tell you. I mean, I work for a family. They're a little bit. They're clocking. Together real well. I'm honest about it. It ain't. They got problems. I think they got some genetic problems. I think every last one of them seems to be bipolar. You know what I mean? You never know who you're going to meet. And I know we all got a little bit of that, but I'm talking about severe, extreme at times, you know? I wouldn't tell them that. But honestly, that used to be like a joke with me. But now I actually know it's true, so I try to work with that, knowing where they are. And, you know, and I say, you know, when stuff happens, I say, well, we just got to consider it. Consider it, you know.
The source.
Yeah, the source, where it's coming from. I say, I do not think that they intend to be like this. It's just the way it is. And so, I said, we can pray for them.
They've been there a long time.
Yeah, we can pray for them. I said, yeah, and I mean this with all my heart. And I've told them several times, I thank you for providing a job for me. And I know, I worked for the man's uncle. He was the same way. Well, for his wife, man, he wouldn't have been tolerable. His wife was a sweet lady. She helped keep him in check. But I loved him too. Still do. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in nurture and admonition, Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. You know, that's the benefit of working hard, of being, you know, putting up, being long-suffering, bearing long with people, being, you know what I mean, learning to be patient, you know. Oh, I want you to know, I went back and found that one lady I told you I lost my patience with. She didn't even remember, but she thanked me so much. And another lady said, been there, I said, I didn't know more than leave there. The Lord told me I needed to come and apologize to you. So I got to be a witness to two ladies right there, you know, about that God speaks. And we need to learn to be obedient to it. So I got a lady probably ain't ever going to forget who I am, and I'm guaranteeing I told him, I said, the Lord told me, and he did, in my heart. He said, you don't need to change stores, you just need to change attitudes. Well, I didn't like that store. I had an attitude against it. Every time I went there, you know, it was problems. They send me here. They said, we don't have it here, you gotta go over there. Or it was supposed to be ready at 2 o'clock, and I get there, and it's 7:30 at night, and it's not ready. You know? And it was all the time. Every time, and I just get the next to me, and I, oh, God. I'm ashamed. Like I told you a while ago, though, I've not arrived yet. If you have, you know, and if you got any suggestions to me, I'll be glad to receive them after Sunday school this morning. Then, and you masters do the same things unto them, forbearing threatenings. In other words, leave it off, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. You know, that's some good advice having to do with children and stuff too. Forbearing threatenings. I remember years ago, my uncle kept threatening his kid. He kept threatening his daughter, and he told her, he said, and he threatened her about two or three times, and my grandpa said, "You say one more word, said I'm gonna whip your butt." He turned around to her. He didn't threaten her one time. He told her, "See, quit doing it." Now, didn't threaten her. Something in her, his voice said, "Oh, I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to whoop my daddy. He's going to try anyway." You know, leave off threatenings. You know, it don't do a whole lot anyway. be like some people would say, "Or what? What you gonna do? You gonna whip me?" Huh? Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. That'll do us well too. If God doesn't look down on his children and says he respects one more than he does the other, that's good advice. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't show respect to your friends, and don't show respect to your enemies. Pray for them the same way. Love them the same way. Do the same way for one as you do the other. God, there's no respect of persons with God, and we're to let the mind of Christ be within us who had no respect of persons. They told him that several times. We see that you respect no persons. Several times, you know, they told him that. And so he didn't show respect to persons, neither ought we. We had that same kind of mind. We're to honor, the Bible says, honor all men. You know? The good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. You know? It doesn't make no difference. He says right here, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might." I was talking to my wife last night, and it's just like I was trying to say just a minute ago, that we need to be, our strength is going to have to come from God. We can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. There's nothing in us. The Bible said when we are weak, then we become strong. When we realize who we are, what we are, that we're just men, and that these things, these matters, these problems, these situations that come at us, we are no match for. And then, who are we going to turn to? Then we'll turn to the Lord. Then we'll look to Him to give us the strength that we need. And He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When I read that last night, I couldn't help but think of it. It said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He had all these things. Put on his mind. Put on his heart. Let him, you know, find yourself so, Lord, you know, I said, I know you're in me. But now I want to put you on as my protector, as my strength, as my heart, my mind. I want to depend on you for everything, in everything. I remember, you know, when I first got saved, you know, I'd go to work. The Bible said pray about everything, so I'd go to work. I said, Lord, help me with my job. I asked Him to help me with the little things, and we should. If I had a problem, something, you know, I had. Man, every now and then they would throw a counter very complicated. I never forget that one they gave me one time. I went around the shop and I said, how do you do this? How do you lay this out? I asked people who've been, you know, in the business for a long time. I said, how do I lay this out? How do I figure this thing out? It was very complicated. You know what a cone shape is, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Comes in like this, you know? This countertop was in a cone shape. It went around like that, where computer pieces were set up in it like that, and it was in a circle, and it was cone-shaped in. It was cone-shaped going out, cone-shaped coming up, you know? And every bit of it was plastic laminate, Brother Ernie, and it had to be mitered where you couldn't see no seam. Does that sound pretty difficult?
Yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, that thing is round, it's coming up at an angle, I got a mitered rim. How do I lay this thing out? How do I lay it out to figure out how to cut my pieces of plastic to lay them in there? And I went to people and asked them if they knew formulas, and they didn't know nothing. So I went and asked one, the best carpenter that ever lived, and I spent my time talking with him about that, to teach me how to do this. Show me. Do us well to every day, asking him to show us how to do this day, how to live this day. Brother Jim's been having to work with some different things he ain't never had to work with before. He's been used to his wife taking care of him, and now he's having to take care of her and having to do laundry and cooking and all that stuff. Are you getting any good at it?
Honesty.
Hey, ask God help you how to be a good cook.
Yep. He helped me.
Ask God to help you do a lot of these things. But when I read this about putting on the whole armor, I thought about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants some people to put on and quit being put ons. He wants us to put him on and quit being a put on. Pretending like everything's okay when sometimes it's not okay. We have a problem. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He didn't tell us to go out and, you know, smite the enemy. He just said stand. You know what? Sometimes we're going to have to stand through all kinds of adversities. Sometimes, you know, you can't ever tell. I know we like the good promises of God, which says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children beg bread. But I'm going to tell you something. Right now, they're across this world, there are Christian people that are they're in harm's way.
Amen.
They'll give up their life today for the cause of Christ. They suffer in prisons without their daily bread. And you know what they need? They need the prayers of God's people. They need the Lord himself. And that's what we need to pray for them. That the Lord will supply the need that they have that day, that they might stand. And when they're buffeted, I never forget about reading this guy. He was behind the Iron Curtain 14 years. He suffered. There's a little book, Torture for Christ. He never read it. You ought to read it sometime. And the things they did to make them fearful, to give up their testimony, to turn back on God. They might just walk into a room like this, you know, y'all busy doing what they told them to do, to walk up a fella and go, bam, just shoot him right in the head, kill him. So you never knew what was coming at you. To try to get you to be fearful. He said it was the greatest day in his life. He said, but he said when he found out his wife and children were in safety, he said, I had such liberty. I'm like, do what you want to. I don't care. You can't hold them against me. They're in safety. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Safety is of the Lord. I don't care where your children and your family's at. The enemy can try to reach out to them. and try to restore our families, try to reach our children and draw them away. And I'm sure he was praying all the time for them. And the things he suffered. Suffering is not a bad thing. It's a gift of God. It's to make us better. It's to make us trust Him more. It's to make us stronger. And these things in suffering, great suffering may come upon us. We don't ever know. But whatever, the only way that we'll possibly, that we can stand, is if we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And who is the way, the truth, and the life? And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Who is our righteousness? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Who is our peace? And above all, taking the shield of faith. And whose faith do we need? The faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And who is our daily intercessor? Whoever liveth to make intercession for us. We put Him on and we learn how to pray as He prays. He'll pray for us that we might be able to pray. He knows what we need. And we can join Him. We can go into we can enter into that throne room of grace, fall upon our knees, and pray with our Lord together. Saying, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. I love some of these next verses right here having to do with that. Praying always with all prayer. And supplication in the Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, praying with all prayer. That's something I'd like to be able to really do a big in-depth study of what this all prayer is. Praying in the Spirit, praying with the understanding, praying for supplications, praying, you know, for learning what all prayer is and praying with the power that God wants us to pray in. And for me, He said pray. And for me. Men and brethren, and for me. Pray for me. I try to hold every one of you up every day. I do. I try. I don't know what all y'all's needs are. So I just ask God, teach me, help me, and I ask Him to undergird you and strengthen you and help you. Some of you I know that are going through certain things. Try to pray for Miss Linda about her health and Brother Jim as he's endeavoring to take care of her. I do. I get to Brother Melvin's name. I think about your wife's mother, that you, how you've asked prayer for, and different ones who've lifted up certain other things. I try to remember those things. Because I like Paul, say right here, and for me. And this is what I want. And for me, that utterance may be given in me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak. As I ought to speak to my wife. As I ought to speak to my children. As I ought to speak to my neighbors. As I ought to speak to the stranger. As I ought to speak as I did to a young Muslim young man yesterday. As I ought to speak. As I ought to speak to somebody that it's just really getting on my nerves, as I ought to speak. But ye also may know my affairs and how I do. I can't pronounce this right. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, love with faith. From God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Twice he mentions the same word. Twice he mentions. He says, peace be to brethren and love with faith. Over there in 1 Corinthians 13. Charity, the love of God, unmerited. Something that we can't muster up out of ourselves. It's got to come from God. That's what we need. Grace be in all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we love him, it's because he first loved us in sincerity. Amen. When I was reading this last night, I said, oh God, help me to know when I'm sincere and when I'm not. When I'm not, Lord, change me. Brother John, will you pray for us?